Welcome to Mom Talk Radio, the show that tackles topics important to you and your family, finances, food, education, technology, and everything in between. We've got it covered on Mom Talk. And now, here's Mary Donnellan on Mom Talk Radio.
It's already the second week of January, and off we go into 2016. Thank you so much for joining us. This will be a fun and informative hour for moms, dads, caregivers, grandparents, anybody, or anybody that just wants to talk to really cool guests. And we've got a great lineup, and I'll touch on those in a minute. First, I want to say quickly that it is National Birth Defects Prevention Month, and along with that, we are pleased to always talk about Pre-Mama, who is a sponsor of Mom Talk Radio. And at drinkpremama.com, you can find information about this terrific prenatal vitamin that's in a powder form. So if you're ready to make it easier to take your prenatal vitamins, Pre-Mama is a top choice for busy moms. It's a vitamin mix that gives you doctor-recommended vitamins and nutrients in a powder form. You simply add one sleeve of Pre-Mama to your morning smoothie, your juice, your yogurt, and more. Available in several flavors, Pre-Mama now offers fertility and lactation supplements as well. So it's a complete maternity wellness journey, whether you're TTC, pregnant, or breastfeeding. So check it out at Drink Pre-Mama. It's available at CVS stores, Target, Bye Bye Baby, Amazon, specialty stores, and of course online too. So if you go to drinkpremama.com, you can find a store locator on that site. And of course, join the conversation about Pre-Mama along with, they give you recipes and cool information about maternity and health tips, et cetera, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Just follow Drink Pre-Mama. So on to the show. I wanted to quickly mention that our first guest is really exciting, and it was a battle in the office of who got to talk to her. It's Lucy Hale, used to be known as Lucy Kate Hale. She is the star of Pretty Little Liars, the ABC Family show that's a top hit. And she's going to be talking about an important topic of meningitis. We're also going to be talking to Mark Friedlander about his latest book for kids, which focuses actually on it's historic fiction, and it's all about STEM, which we know is so important for young children these days, the science, technology, engineering, and math. Dr. Straub will be with us. He's a child psychologist who will be talking about Safe House. He wrote a book as well. And we have an international guest today. We'll talk to Lisa Hendrickson, who is calling us from Sweden. So that will be exciting. She'll talk about her book, which is called I Was Supposed to Be Happy. So that's really exciting. And before we kick off the show, I would also like to mention that one of the things in January that comes up for us in Florida is Girl Scout cookies. I don't know if you have a Girl Scout in your family, immediate family, a niece or a nephew, or even a neighbor. I have one in my house, and I am about to go pick up next week about 100 cases of cookies because I volunteered to be the cookie mom. I think I must be insane, but a lot of moms are very happy that I have volunteered, and they're giving me all kinds of thank you, thank you, thank yous. So it's fun, though. My little 9-year-old loves to put on her little her brownie vest and run around to the neighbors with me, and we do the cookie booths at the grocery store and things like that. So if you see a Girl Scout, please buy some cookies. And if you don't want to buy cookies, because I always question the timing of these cookies, why they do it after January, right in January when everybody's still on their diet resolution. But if you don't want to eat them, then you can donate money, and any money, there's something called Cookies for the Military. The Girl Scout cookies will be shipped to military bases overseas for our military men and women who serve us every single day. So with that said, I'd like to, when we come back, actually, we'll be talking to Lucy Hale, and we'll be talking to her about the Voices of Meningitis and BoostTheVolume.com. What is that? Stay with us and find out.
Mom's Little Secret. Mom Talk Radio.
It's Mary and for Maria, and I'm so pleased to introduce our first guest, Lucy Hale. And as I mentioned in the intro of the show, our whole office was so excited that I'm going to be talking to you, Lucy, and I had to pretty much tell them that they couldn't talk to you. I get to do the interview. So, Lucy, you are the star of Pretty Little Liars, the ABC Family's hit drama, but you're talking to us today about the Voices of Meningitis. Can you give us a little bit about what that is?
Yeah, so I teamed up with Voices of Meningitis actually last spring, so spring of 2015, because they were launching a new campaign called Boost the Volume. And so they were looking for someone who had a support group in the age range of when you would get the vaccination for meningitis, and someone who also had a passion about it and had sort of a better understanding of it. And also I had a musical connection, which is what the Boost the Volume competition was. And so basically, while raising awareness about meningococcal meningitis and about the second vaccination, I asked various high schools across the nation to send in videos of them performing a medley of songs. And then I chose winning high schools and went to their high schools and spoke to them and, you know, to further educate them and to raise awareness, but also doing it in a really cool way. We did it through the power of music. And so I wanted to be a part of this mainly because I was shocked to know that the percentage of people that get the first vaccination, only 30% are vaccinated with the second dose. And that's
right.
You know, that was insane to me. And meningococcal meningitis is terrifying, you know, and it's potentially fatal and can take a life of a healthy person in up to 24 hours,
wow.
And, or as little as 24 hours. Yeah. And
right.
So it was great for me because I learned a lot. I come from a household of nurses. My mom was a nurse. My stepmom's a nurse.
Mm-hmm.
So I've always sort of known about vaccinations and how important they are. And I'm also aware of who my support group is, and it's mainly teens. And, you know, that's in the age range of when you should be getting these vaccinations. So
right.
I felt sort of not only obligated, but, you know, I'm in a really good position where people will sort of listen. And I think that it was important for me to lend my voice to this.
Absolutely. You have such a great, and you said it's teen fans and their parents, and their parents are the ones who are going
right.
to basically enforce the
exactly.
vaccination. So you're saying there's two vaccinations and most people get the first one and don't get the second one. And
right.
that's
yeah.
part
I
of
mean,
the awareness.
The first, exactly. So the first vaccination is obviously, it's like around ages 11 to 12 when you should get it.
Right.
But I mean,
okay.
a lot of people were unaware that there was even a second dosage, which is known as the booster, hence why we did a competition called Boost the
right.
Volume.
Okay.
But
gotcha.
Yeah, only 30% of teens get that second dose. So we were hoping to raise that statistic and educate not only the teens, but also, you know, mainly the parents, because they're the ones obviously taking the kids to get it.
Right.
So,
right.
I feel like we visited a lot of places last year, and I think we did a pretty good job at educating people.
So they must have been thrilled to see you in the schools. What a great idea to do that, to reach out in grassroots efforts to go to the schools.
Yeah, I thought it was, you know, teens sort of have their own agenda and, you know, they're busy with things. And so we had to sort of come at a different angle to get their attention for this. And I thought that the Boost the Volume campaign was really, really clever and really fun. And all the videos that they submitted were amazing. There's so much, I don't know if you've ever sat in on an a cappella group, but they're incredible.
Yes.
You know,
yeah.
I obviously love music. And so they did a really great job. And it was really amazing to get to travel the country and get to go to different high schools and meet all these different kids. And
awesome.
They really paid attention, too. So it was great.
You're a great role model. And that's why they pay attention, too, because if the parent says it, they hear
that
wah, wah. They hear wah, wah, wah. You know, when you
exactly.
talk about it, I'm sure they're
so
listening.
Yeah, definitely. So it was a great experience for everyone, I think.
Right. So you mentioned your music. You know, obviously, it was a competition involving music, and you have recently debuted an album called Road Between.
Uh-huh. Correct.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thanks. Yeah, it's sort of all tied in together. So it was,
right.
you know, good for them, good for me, good for everyone. So
yeah, that's a great one. So you had a grand prize winner, and then you used that the winner's section in a public service announcement. Is that correct?
Right. Yes. So we shot a PSA last year, which is airing nationwide now. And so we chose the winning high school, which was actually out of Calabasas. So super close to me. They were so great. And so it was Calabasas High, the acapella group there, myself and a girl named Jamie, who was actually a meningococcal meningitis survivor. So she has this incredible story.
Mm.
You know, her story, I wish you could actually speak with her. Because I mean, if once you hear her story, there's no way that you won't get that vaccination because, it almost took her life. She suffered, really horrible repercussions. She had, fingers amputated, half of her leg amputated, You know, it's just, but she's so positive and she's spreading awareness about it and has been working with Voices of Meningitis for a while. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. So anyway, so we shot this PSA and it was a good time. And it's like great. I said, it's airing. If you don't see it, you can go to the website, boostthevolume.com to learn more
about it. Yeah, I'm looking at it right. I'm actually looking at it right now.
And, yeah, are you? Cool.
Yeah, it's great. So if you go to boostthevolume.com, telling our listeners, you'll see there you are with Jamie. And of course, there's all kinds of information mm-hmm. about the vaccine and how it's so preventable and what a great service you're doing for everyone, not just just teens, but you're just because it stays with you, obviously. So
I was honored to be a part of it.
Great. Thank you so much for all your work. And so what do you want moms to know? Where can they go for more information? At boostthevolume.com, we can find out about the vaccination.
Right, yeah. So you can definitely go to the website. That'll give you pretty much all the information you need. But, I mean, my advice, you know, obviously I'm not a nurse or a doctor, but from what I've learned throughout this whole situation is obviously get the vaccination. But go talk to your healthcare provider and your doctors and just ask questions. I think that a lot of people are just afraid to ask, but that's really all the advice I would give you. And I'm almost 100% guaranteed that they're going to tell you to get the second vaccination.
Yeah, I know. And I have to call my doctor because I have a 13-year-old daughter, and I'm not even sure. I think she might have gotten the first one, but not the second. So I'm writing a note.
Exactly.
And that's as we speak.
There you go. That's amazing. That's what we wanted. So, I mean, that just further proves that not many people know about it. So that's what we're trying to do here. Just right. Make people aware.
Great. Well, thank you so much for joining us. And we look forward to seeing you. So Pretty Little Liars has two more. The season is, there's more seasons coming, correct?
Yeah, we actually premiere next week. Our season 6B premieres next week. And then we start filming for season 7, end of March. So we have plenty more episodes for everyone. So
wonderful. Congratulations. What a pleasure it was to talk to you today. Again, Lucy Hale, thank you so much for joining us on Mom Talk Radio. And the website is boostthevolume.com. And when we come back, we'll shine the spotlight on moms. We're going to be talking to Summer Poquette at greenandcleanmom.org. Stay with us. It's the Spotlight on Moms. This is Mary and for Maria on Mom Talk Radio. And our featured mom today is Summer Poquette. She has two children, 8 and 11 years old, and she blogs at greenandcleanmom.org. And her Twitter handle is at greenmom. Welcome to Mom Talk Radio, Summer.
Hello. Thank you for having me, Mary.
Thank you. So tell us a little bit about your blog. I've seen it. I've actually worked with you on projects. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. You got a great blog. Tell us how you started it and how you've branched out from, you know, what started as I'm sure everybody else started at the beginning.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I started in 2007. So in dog years, that's really old, I guess, in first blogging.
In blog years,
in blog years, exactly. So I started as just a mom that was up late at night, wanted to talk to other moms and share what I was learning. I quickly learned that, you know, there were so many other moms like myself and dads, grandparents, and everyone was connecting online. It was a great way to share resources and information and make new friends. And from there, it just really blossomed each year, making new connections with brands and PR firms and other bloggers and businesses.
Right. So now you still work at a local level, but you use your blog as a springboard, right?
I absolutely do. Yeah. So in 2007, when I started, you know, I didn't really know what was going to come of it. I don't think a lot of us did. I didn't really think of myself as a business at the time. And then I started working with PR firms and companies, and my husband quickly said, you're a business. You need to take this seriously. Mm-hmm. It's more than a hobby.
And from there,
I really, you know, started approaching every email and every phone call and every connection as a way to grow myself and my blog. I always have had the mission of blogging to help other people. I guess in my previous life, or, you know, before I was a mom, I was a mm-hmm. teacher. And, you know, I always like sharing in teaching other people. And so at the local level, I've been able to do that in hosting workshops and classes and seminars and working with the college and the local chamber. And all of those connections really bring you to new opportunities, new people, because you never really know who lives in your backyard. You know, who
That's right.
who does your neighbor know? Who's your neighbor connected to? And where can that lead you? And that has, you know, I have so many examples, Mary, of where, you know, I've just met somebody and all of a sudden it's, a new contract. Somebody is, looking for exactly what I have to offer. And had I not reached out or, taken the opportunity to speak at the college or to work at, the library to help out in a workshop, I wouldn't have met that person that has led me to the new contract and the new business opportunities.
Right,
you know,
absolutely.
Always a great thing to take those opportunities and not just as a blogger. Just work online. It's really a great opportunity when you connect to your chamber and your library and your local community college and even the public school systems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. There's like, I think the, and you can comment on this in your personal experience, but what we've seen just from when we work with bloggers, it's now, it's such a bigger picture to look at. And so we call you influencers now versus bloggers, because it's not just
Absolutely.
A blog. It's any, as a matter of fact, blogging is moving a little bit farther back, as you say, in dog years. It's mm-hmm. it's too
yeah.
old. So now you're looking at Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube videos, or now we talk about Vine videos and Snapchat. So, but there's still a local element, an offline element that can always, like you say, develop into something, into a contract. So do you see that coming for you, or are you in the midst of that now where you're transitioning into more social media?
Mm-hmm. Well, in 2009, I started transitioning into social media and doing consulting
right.
work. And
okay.
in 2011, I had the opportunity, actually when I first started blogging in 2007, I had started as a Shackley distributor. And so I thought, hey, this is a great way to reach other people and use this platform. And so if I make a little extra cash, that's great. And it just kind of grew from there. And in 2011, the corporation, the Shackley Corporation, actually hired me as their social media consultant.
Oh,
and I
great.
Worked for the company 3 years. So you never know, like when you start something and you work for a brand or you do something, you know, how they're going to see the potential to work with you on a bigger level. And
right.
Just last year, I actually had a local company reach out to me and say, hey, we're looking for a marketing manager. And, here, this company was in my backyard, has been existing for, 13 years and is a strategic partner with the USDA. And now I'm their marketing manager full time. So it's like, you just don't know how people can find out about you. And I wouldn't have thought this in 2007 when I started blogging,
right.
how things will come to fruition and who you will meet.
So you blog at greenandcleanmom.org. You're a full-time marketing manager and a mom, which is the biggest job of all. So congratulations on your success, and we'll follow you. Summer Poquette, thanks so much for joining us on Mom Talk Radio. And when we return, Mark Friedlander Jr. will talk to us about his latest book, Leonardo da Vinci Gets a Do-Over.
Helping you succeed at the most important career you'll ever have. Welcome to Mom Talk with Maria Bailey.
Our next guest is Mark P. Friedlander Jr. He is an author as well as he has got an impressive resume, and I couldn't even start to, I take up his whole segment reading all of his accomplishments, but his latest endeavor is a book called Leonardo da Vinci Gets a Do-Over, Innovators in Action, and it's all about STEM, which is certainly a super hot topic in education. Welcome to Mom Talk Radio, Mr. Friedlander.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
Thank you. So I love it. I'm actually looking, it's on Amazon, and it's called Leonardo da Vinci Gets a Makeover, and Makeover?
Yeah. Yeah, okay,
I'm thinking about what I need right about now.
Okay.
Sorry about that. Gets a do-over. So tell us a little bit about the book, how it helps teachers in the classroom, good for curriculum, et cetera.
Well, the book itself is a fun, enjoyable adventure for the young adult to read. But embedded in it is about 25 learnings places for math, science, history, and geography. Any mom that is homeschooling would want this, particularly because all you have to do is go to the website of the publisher, as indicated on the inside of the book, and there's a link. You click on it, and you get a 60 free-page teacher's guide with all kind of activities and studies that grow out of each chapter of the book. But reading the book, it's very simple. Leonardo da Vinci, the great genius of the 15th and 16th century,
Renaissance,
gets a chance to come back to the 21st century, where we really need him.
And right. That's
there
cute.
He meets three middle school kids who believe him when he says he really has returned. And, of course, no adult would think that somebody could come back from the alive. So they need to guide him into the 21st century, all the things he needs to know. Meantime, they learn from him all of the things they need to know about the Renaissance and the Middle Ages and the geography of both now and then.
That's fascinating.
And it leads to a remarkable thing that he does, an invention, remarkable invention that he creates in the 21st century.
Interesting. Okay.
I could tell anybody what it was.
No, we didn't know spoilers.
But in the course of reading the book, which is hopefully filled with laughs and activity, you're learning.
Sure.
The new
That's
idea
a great...
of educational fiction.
Right. So it's historic fiction, but it's really it's educational fiction. So is that a category that's new
it's
or
brand new
you?
As far, I don't know.
Is it? Okay.
The publisher and I got together and decided we would do educational fiction, and that is exactly what this book does, because it's a way, if you want your child to learn history, you might say read a historical novel, read historical fiction. But this is fiction that is not totally historic fiction, because obviously it's not really true that Leonardo da Vinci came back to Florence in the year 2000.
Right.
But that's the adventure, the time travel adventure.
Okay. So there is, as you had said, there are there's a teacher's guide for this book?
Yes. Once you click into the website of the publisher, which is written right on the inside of the book, there is a link to a free teacher's guide. It's about 60 pages long that you can print out any part of that you want.
Right. Free. And so this is part of a series, and you've got you're actually a successful children's book writer anyway. So is this the first in a series?
It is the first in a series called Innovators in Action.
So is the business? Go ahead.
Well, we will have other books that will be fiction, some with magic, who knows, some with time travel, as I say, who knows, but all of it will be filled with education.
Great. That's great. So are there other historical figures that you can think of that you're going to be basing some books on that inspire children?
Well, there's just so many in the history of the world.
I know, right?
In every kind of category, and so I'm not at liberty now to say what the new characters will be,
okay. But
they will cover different areas of adventure, and they will all be targeted to the young adult market.
Right, and as you said, STEM and history and everything that there's so much that our kids can learn from this. So, and it brings it into today's world, language, circumstances, everything, so that it's more appealing.
Yes, that is exactly correct.
Rather than just say, go read a historic fiction book. This is educational fiction. Very interesting. Okay. So we can look at Amazon.com and look at, it's called Leonardo da Vinci Gets a Do-Over, Innovators in Action Series. There is a Kindle edition, and I think it's available in paperback, very reasonably priced.
Well, it is a paperback.
Okay.
That's made it very inexpensive for anybody to buy.
Right. And any other information? Is there a website for you or the publisher?
Well, there's a website that's Friedlander Books, but that covers a much larger range than young adult or educational fiction. The other books that I have done have been for young adults as part of the children's market, about immunology, about forensic science, about diseases, disease detectives, things like that. But they're not fiction. They were
right. They
were nonfiction.
Oh, okay.
And some
okay.
And adult books about Shakespeare and about aviation history. But those are, again, adult. This is a new adventure to get into the educational area for children. I shouldn't say children, because these are young adults.
Young adult, yeah, I can see that. I can see the age range here. Yeah, so that's great. So again, it's emphasizing STEM and everything good about historic figures. So very, very, very great idea. So it's called the Innovators in Action series. We'll be watching for the next one. So the first one is Leonardo da Vinci gets a do-over, and we hope to see more very soon. Thank you so much for joining us, Mr. Friedlander. And when we come back, we're joined by Dr. Joshua Straub, who is the author of Safe House. Find out what that is.
The number one podcast for busy moms. Mom Talk Radio.
Our next guest is Dr. Joshua Straub. He's the author of Safe House, and he's a speaker, family advocate, and an expert in child psychology. And he has trained thousands of professionals in critical incident stress management, and he uses his knowledge and expertise to help in areas of trauma. So his book is called Safe House. Welcome to Mom Talk Radio, Dr. Straub.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Thank you. So what is a safe house, and how would you describe the term to our viewers and what is obviously a book?
Yeah. So, well, when I first became a parent, I realized there were so many techniques and so many books and so many strategies for raising healthy kids. And having been a counselor for the last 15 years, working with juvenile delinquents and troubled families primarily, and then also in my doctoral research, I was trying to find and figure out a way, is it really this complicated? Does it have to be this complicated? Because, as you know, as a mom, as a dad, and in the culture we live in, we're moving 100 miles an hour, and in most cases, we're just trying to survive the day. And
right.
So let alone having time to read a book or try to implement this strategy or that strategy. And so through all the research that I found that there's actually one key aspect of raising kids who we get the outcomes that we're looking for later in life, and that is the concept of emotional safety. And so a safe house, I describe it as with one phrase, and that is this: it is posture from which we parent, not the techniques that matters most. It is the posture from which we relate with our kids and interact with our kids, not the techniques that matters most.
You're right. It's so overwhelming, all the different, like you say, techniques, and you get, there's a million ways to do it. It can be so overwhelming. So you said posture from which we parent?
Yeah. Yeah, the posture.
So what do you mean by that?
Yeah. So when I ask parents about, you know, what are they looking for and how they, you know, want to raise their kids, you know, what outcomes are we looking for? You know, we hear good grades. We want our kids to be happy. We want them to respect authority. We want them to grow up to be adults who have healthy families themselves and healthy relationships, solid careers. And in the research, when you look at this, emotional safety is linked back. An environment of emotional safety is linked back to all of those outcomes. And the reason is because when our kids are safe, when they have this, because there's all kinds of emotional bullets, if you will, coming at our kids all day, mm-hmm. every day, peer pressure, through media, to advertising, to whatever it might be. Our homes need to be the safest place on the planet for our kids. Our relationships with them need to be the safest place on the planet. And it's that context that allows the brain to be able to develop those higher functioning parts of the brain, which are located behind the eyes, which are known for self-control, emotion regulation, the ability to have social skills, problem solving, cognitive flexibility. Those are the skills that we want our kids to develop that lead to those outcomes we're looking for. And all of those skills develop in an environment of being emotionally safe.
Right. So when you talk about emotionally safe, then is the book telling us how to build that safe house? And what
that's exactly
would,
right. Yes.
Okay.
Yep. Exactly right. And so the idea and the concept there is that it really begins with our own story. And so I kind of construct this safe house within the context of the book, where the first three chapters in particular set the stage of our own story. And I start telling my own story of how my parents were divorced and what it was like growing up. Because a lot of times we parent out of the way our parents parented us, for better or worse.
Right, right.
And oftentimes without even realizing it. It really, that foundation of a safe house begins with our own story. Because if we're not emotionally present, a lot of times our ability to be emotionally present with our kids is a lot of times dependent on whether or not we're parenting out of fear or how unresolved our own stories are. And I talk a lot about that in the book, about how we as parents are co-authors of our children's stories. It's a big joke, you know, in counseling that when people come to counseling, you know, they sit down and they say, hey, you know, tell me about your mom or dad and what your relationship was like with them. It's like the very first question. But there's a truth in it. There's a reality in it that a lot of times our issues today stem from some type of rupture in our relationship with our parents. And the more coherent our stories and our narratives are, the more beautiful we can write stories for our children.
Okay. Interesting. And interestingly enough, I just thought of it in my head, because you used the metaphor of the four walls of the safe house. I'm sure some people would want to maybe repaint one of the walls if based on their parents, you know, their parenting that they learned from their parents, or maybe tear a wall down. Is that possible?
You know, That's such a great point, and that's so true, yes. And so that's based on the foundation. I use four walls, and it's based out of research, the four walls that we use to balance. And these walls need to be balanced over time. The first two walls are that of exploration and protection. And the whole idea there is that we want our kids to be able to explore the world around them. One research study shows that the more access a toddler has to the home, the more self-competent and self-confident they are later in life. Also, we don't want our kids to explore too far, lest they run out into the street and get hit by a car. And so on the opposite of the wall of exploration is the wall of protection. We want to balance those walls over time. Unfortunately, we're raising our kids in a society today where our wall of protection is way higher than the wall where we're overprotecting or rescuing our kids. And we're seeing the negative outcomes of those of parenting in that way. That's why we want to balance the walls of exploration and protection over time.
Excellent. That's really, really interesting. So we only have about a minute left. And I don't want to give away all the secrets of the book, because it's really fascinating. So the book is called Safe House. And where can our listeners find it?
If you go to safehousebook.com, safehousebook.com. Yep.
Okay, safehousebook.com. That's singular, book or books? Did you say book?
Book. Yeah, book.
Okay.
Or anywhere, Amazon, anything like that. Yep.
Oh, great. Okay, great. Thank you so much for joining us. I love the idea, and best of luck with your work going forward. And Happy New Year. And when we come back, we are taking a journey to Sweden. We're going to be talking to Lisa Henriksen. She is the author of I Was Supposed to Be Happy, and she's got an amazing story to tell. Stay with us. Closing out this fabulous edition of Mom Talk Radio with our guest from Sweden, Lisa Henriksen. She is the author of I Was Supposed to Be Happy, which shares her journey to help others find their true choice and happiness. Lisa is the co-founder of Wisdom Stockholm. She's a Access Consciousness Certified Facilitator and founder and CEO of Egan Tid, the first yoga studio offering babysitting services in Sweden, which I think is absolutely fabulous. Welcome to Mom Talk Radio, Lisa.
Hi, thank you very much.
Thank you for joining us. So tell us about the book first. I Was Supposed to Be Happy. What was the inspiration for the book?
So I lived what everyone else would call the perfect life. I had found the perfect man. We had bought the white picket fence house. We had 2.0 kids. Mm-hmm. And I had a beautiful career doing everything that you were supposed to do, you know, did the digital bump and was the project manager, did all the hot stuff that you were supposed to do. But somewhere inside my body was aching, and there was a voice constantly saying to me, what is it that's missing? Why can't you just be happy? So, and I was making myself so wrong, because you're not supposed to feel like you're not supposed to be unhappy when you have it all, right?
Correct.
So I just kept going through life, you know, ignoring all the signals, ignoring my body, and just thinking, if I just added this perfect thing as well, then somewhere along the corner, everything would be beautiful and happy. But it didn't happen.
Right. Instead, so what was the turning point?
The turning point was actually a couple of events. It was my body was talking to me, and also in the book I describe a really, what I would say, and many people look at it as a terrifying event that took place. But all of those things were also situations and events that made me not ignore my body anymore. And also I heard, because I was running a health, as you said, a healthcare center called Egen Tid, where we take care of pregnant women. And one day I was at that place and I overheard someone talking about something called access consciousness, where a therapist had asked one of the moms, what is it that you know, that you've known your whole life, but you've never listened to? And I was like, well, that's exactly what my life has looked like. So I asked her what that was, and I came in contact with techniques and tools that made me access my own knowing and what was true for me beyond the rat race, beyond the box of the perfect life and all of that. So I started asking myself questions and living what's true for me, and changed a lot in my life. And I live in a very different way now.
Really? Good.
Yes.
So would you say this book is it your story? Is it how to? Is it tips? Is it just autobiographical?
No, actually, my story is not very significant. I just included it in the book because it's a good example of how you can live your life from someone else's idea of how you're supposed to live your life. And
right.
Also many people out there and women that I meet when I facilitate and travel is like, if I only had that, I think I will be happy. And what I want to say is that, what if that's not what you long for? What if that's someone else's idea of what
right.
the perfect life should look like? So my
should
invitation is... Yeah, exactly. And it's different for all of us. And what I discovered is the more I live from what's true for me and, you know, access what's true for me and start living that, the more happier I get. And it's also a lot has been to stop judging myself and also allow other people to judge me, because I don't do it the right way anymore, the way I suppose, you know, I'm supposed to do it. And that makes people a little bit uncomfortable. What
right.
if that's okay too?
Exactly. Interesting. So I Was Supposed to Be Happy is available now. Where can our listeners find it?
It's on my website, supposedtobehappy.com. You
okay.
can also find me on Facebook. My name is Lisa Henriksen.
And it's Henriksen
really,
is...
Henriksen with a K and two S's.
Okay, great. Thank you so much for joining us, Lisa, and best of luck as again, our journey isn't really ending, is it? It keeps going. So your story is really interesting, and thank you for sharing it with us. And thank you all so much for listening to this edition of Mom Talk Radio. The links to our guests' websites, books, videos, etc. will all be on momtalkradio.com next week. I hope you have a wonderful week and have a happy new year.